a pleasure to welcome in Alex Pavlovich this morning. He, of course, on Twitter at Alex Pavlovich, P-A-V-L-O-V-I-C, and he covers the Giants for the Bay Area newspaper group. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
The ball club, Gregor Blanco. And I know you get so many responses on your blog and when you do your tweeting and all that. What are the fans saying about Gregor Blanco? Do they believe in him?
I hope they do. I think people don't talk about him enough. It seems like every time we hear from somebody, they want to know if the Giants are going to go out and get another outfielder, if they're going to go fix the problem in left field. And I've been saying all season, I don't think there was much of a problem in left field just because Blanco was out there. And I think people have to look past, you know, the power numbers and things like that and look at a guy who's a Gold Glove caliber defender. And we've seen the last month, he's really stepped it up at the plate. He has, we were just talking about a 365 on base percentage since Pagan got hurt, which is all you can ask for out of a leadoff hitter. And a couple guys pointed out yesterday in the clubhouse, he comes up at times and really, you know, gives you a shot in the arm from the power department too. And it doesn't have to be home runs. It's doubles and triples. And we saw it yesterday. And he was going for an inside the park homer yesterday. So, you know, he's an exciting guy. He kind of is that prototypical leadoff hitter when he's playing like he has the last month. For me, he's been one of their best players the last month and somebody who they're going to count on going forward, especially with Pagan probably out for an extended time here.
And the fans like him. He's a very likable player, great guy. He can steal a base, he can throw, and he plays center field rather effortlessly. And, of course, you go back to Kane's perfect game, you know, coming over and saving it from right center field. I like him. I've liked him since I saw him the first day of spring training. I realize he's a baseball player. You brought up a good point, that ball yesterday, and I called it a geyser shot. I mean, it just disappeared. And, of course, the fan reaches over and catches it. Amazing what you see at a ballpark every day. How did you see it develop?
Well, I think Gregor would have been on third at least, and we've seen some of the bounces here, and he could have had a shot at an inside the park home run. He said that's what he was thinking right out of the box, and it's something he's wanted to do for a while. I remember talking to him last spring about this, and he wants to have an inside the park homer here, and he wants to steal home at some point. So those are two really exciting plays that he'd kind of like to knock off the checklist there, and I think he probably would have had a good shot at yesterday. To me, the issue becomes if – you know, it's not rewarding the home team so much, but if you give them the run, it kind of, there's no incentive for people to stop doing that. So I think baseball has to look at what some other sports have done in the NBA or in hockey where, you know, you can't throw things on the floor. Sometimes you see in college basketball where teams get penalized for what their fans are doing. I think it's become a bit of a problem here, and it's something that we see probably once or twice a homestand where somebody interferes with a live ball, and it seems like baseball hasn't done a whole lot about it. But, you know, marching somebody out and having a bunch of people cheer for him because the Giants just scored and having the stadium rocking, I don't think that's really going to keep people from doing it the next time.
Yeah, someone called in last night. I don't know the answer to this question. I hope I'll see George Costa this morning or Gino or someone. Is the fan ejected from the ballpark, or is he just relocated like a Siberian wolf? They take him to another part of the park.
I think George would be the person to ask. Wheels are under the impression that they get ejected, but
that's
I've never seen anybody actually marched out of the ballpark, so I'm not sure what actually happened. I just know that whatever they're doing, and you know, it's not their fault. It's not the Giants' fault. It's not the people who work here. They have nothing to do with it. But the fans continue to do this, and they're people who get those seats and maybe don't always pay attention to the games as much as they should and don't know the rules as much as they should. I think something has to be done just because I don't remember it being like this in the past, and it seems like this year it's every third or fourth home game
sure.
We see somebody really interfere with a live play.
Alex Pavlovich is with us on this Sunday morning. Always a pleasure to have Alex here. The Marlins and the Giants today, Eovaldi and Kane, and the Marlins lead this series 2-1. The Giants are 3 back of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Someone sent me an email last night, Abby did, from San Francisco, and she said, you know what you should do? No one is allowed to lean over the rail to get a foul ball. In other words, let's say a legitimate foul ball comes down the line. You can't do it. That imaginary vertical plane is there, and you just can't do it. You're not allowed to do it, and that'll stop anyone ever from reaching over the railing for a foul ball. Now, it goes in the stands, it's all yours. But no more falling over the railing and reaching over for any ball that is on the playing field.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just, to me, one of the charms of this game is that you are right there, and you're so close to the action sometimes if you're right there on the field, and you see a ton of baseballs every game go into the stands. You see people go after them. You see kids go after them, and people with gloves. I think that's a cool part of baseball and something you don't see in other sports. But yeah, I mean, those people right on the rail. Like you said, I don't know what the answer is. It just seems like it's getting worse and worse, and at some point an answer needs to be found.
All right. Alex with us here this morning. Give us a good update. Now, I have to do the Stanford Health Report brought to us by StanfordHospital.org, in the pregame diamond notes. But give me a little bit of a health report here in this ball club and what is going on with them. You're in this clubhouse every day, and Casilla, Sandoval had another home run last night. Could he play today? Could he be back here today? Give me a little rundown on Pagan and what you see on this health report.
Well, I think Pablo isn't eligible until Monday.
So okay,
if you were ready,
couldn't even
I'm
come
sure.
in.
He might have been here yesterday.
Gotcha.
If they were ready to have
okay.
him, just given the lack of power they have. But, you know, he went 3-for-3 last night. He has 2 homers and 2 rehab games. I think he's ready to go. And he really looked pretty close right as he went on the disabled list. And it was a tough spot because they're without so many guys, and we saw what happened when they tried to let Angel work through his issues without going on the DL, so they pretty much had to make that move. But I think he's going to be absolutely fine. It was a strain and something he's gotten over and has had no issues. Casilla threw a bullpen session yesterday, and I don't know if he was really letting it go, but that's another step in the right direction. I think we've heard he might be back in Cincinnati, so maybe that's it's definitely way ahead of the timetable.
Sure.
So either way, that's good news. I think Pagan is the one to watch, and he's the guy who, to me, it seems pretty certain that he's going to have surgery. And, like you said, we're not doctors here, and we don't know what's going to happen. But he was talking about surgery even before he went on that rehab assignment. So I'd have to think that now that he's had the setback and given how he was talking yesterday and how he said he has to be 100% to play, I think it sounds like surgery is the option, and that's probably 6 to 8 weeks. So it is a big thing. And the other one to watch today is Chad Godin. That's
right.
A guy who was supposed to throw yesterday and never did, and was supposed to throw a bullpen session today and said he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do it. So we'll keep a close eye on him. I mean, obviously, he's Tuesday's starter. So if he can't throw a bullpen session today, I'm not sure he can go on Tuesday.
So who goes then on Tuesday? I mean, what do you do? Kickham comes back? And Dodgers struggle a little bit against lefties. I just looked it up the other day. They're a little bit under 500 against lefties.
Well, there's going to be some roster moves to be made, and that probably plays into it, given what you have to do bringing Pablo back.
What's the move there when Pablo comes back?
I'm not sure. I would think probably Nick Noonan is the guy who makes a lot of sense, just because he has been playing third, and if Pablo's back and you have Arias, I think you're probably pretty set there. But back to Godin, yeah, I think Kickham is the guy who makes a lot of sense. I haven't heard anything, and they're not going to talk about it until
sure.
they have to, obviously, because Chad is still hopeful that he can start on Tuesday. But, you know, I thought Kickham handled himself well after his first start, and you're going to have those jitters, and was playing a very good team, and you know, just had that inning that kind of put him out of the game, but I think he was anxious to get back on the mound, and somebody I'd like to see another look at him. I know the Giants would, and they're hopeful he'd be back up here sometime this year. So if they need a spot starter, I think Kickham makes a lot of sense.
Alex, ball club has played 74 games, 88 to go. What's the state of the Giants right now vis-a-vis this division? And I know we talked about Heath Bell won't be closing for the Diamondbacks anymore, but they're starting to win games, and Goldschmidt is hitting, Hill is coming back. Padres keep around. I'm not sure they're ever going to stay around. The Rockies' rotation starting to look a little better to me. They're starting to get more consistency. And then you got the team in the South. You never can lose sight of them. So where are the Giants vis-a-vis this division?
Well, I think first they should be very happy that they're in the National League West, because if they were in another division, we'd be talking about the wild card already. So it is a division that is still out there to be won, and they're right there with the Diamondbacks. I mean, they're one good week away from being in first place, and we saw it last week how quickly you can move back within a game and a half of first place. So I do think that every team in this division has issues, and nobody's really proven that they're going to run away yet. And somebody probably should have buried the Dodgers right now, but nobody's done it.
Yeah.
And they're way under 500 and really have looked terrible the whole year, but they still have a chance to go on a run here and get back in it. I think they're about 6 back of the Giants in the loss column. So obviously hosting the Giants this week is a chance for them to kind of make up some ground. I still think Arizona is the team to beat if you're a Giants fan. That's the team that's going to be there the whole year. And we were talking about it during during the break. They get Aaron Hill back, which is going to get, it's going to be huge for them because they've pretty much been Goldschmidt or bust offensively right now. So that's going to be big for them. I think that's the team to watch. If they can get a couple more guys healthy and figure out what to do in the ninth inning, because Heath Bell is not the answer. Yeah. That's probably the team the Giants have to catch.
Yeah, it's all coming together. The month of June, it sort of comes together, and then July, you figure out where you want to go with it. One thing about the Dodgers, they have 31 wins. You got to get to 90, I would think. That would be 59 more wins. They'd have to go 59-30 to get to 90.
They've really put themselves in a huge hole.
Yeah, they have.
I think they're going to be a tough team in the second half. I think they're going to be tough when they get healthy, but it's going to be really difficult for them to make up that many games, even in this division. And, it's going to be interesting next week. If they lose today and if they lose a couple of the Giants, I don't think Don Mattingly is going to be able to hold on much longer.
Wow. Oh, interesting. Alex, thank you so much, as always. We will replay this later tonight. You'll be able to hear it again. But Alex Pavlovich of Bay Area Newspaper Group, always good insight. And you're going to tweet, certainly, very soon, the lineup, I hope.
I will. I tried to get it out of Wotus. We crossed paths here, but he wouldn't give it up. So, I'll go in there right now and see what we can find.
All right. Thank you so much, as always.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. That is Alex Pavlovich. More coming up.